Well, good morning and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studio in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-County. This morning I have with me Dan Diamond from Jerseyville High School. Dan, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So we all know you're the tennis coach, been mm-hmm. coaching for a while, mm-hmm. But you are a family man.
Yes, I am.
And been a family man for a while.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. How long have you been married?
I've been married for 22 years to my wife, Shelly. We have three kids, Quinn, Lincoln, and Nina. And all three of them are adopted. My wife and I were lucky enough to go through that process. And my oldest one, Quinn, he's a freshman in college at Missouri State University. Loves it, doing well. And my youngest one is in second grade. So, like I've said before, I got a long way to go.
Okay. How about the middle one?
Lincoln. He's a freshman in high school.
Oh, freshman in high school. Okay.
Yep.
How was that as far as adopting? Was that a challenge at all? Was there anything different, you know, that you didn't see coming when you adopted?
Adoption is a lengthy process. You know, you start looking at different agencies that you can use, and there's a lot of paperwork, a lot of training. You know, you have to go through, get foster family certified, like those types of things, but it was all well worth it. Both of our boys were adopted from South Korea, so there was a lot of international paperwork that had to be filled out, getting visas, those types of things. And so, yeah, it's a very lengthy process. It's very expensive.
It is.
And
you think it would be reasonably priced.
Yeah, I wish it would have been, you know. But no, I mean, like, the money didn't matter. You know, they're all great kids, and they've definitely been a blessing to my wife and I.
So did you have to go over to South Korea?
We did not, actually. The program at that time, since we were in the middle of, like, the school year, they flew both of our sons to Chicago O'Hare Airport, and we met a social worker there right off the plane and got our boys home from there.
How did you come up with your boys? Did you pick them out?
No, literally, like, you kind of put in like an application and they go through and make sure that you're going to be fit parents.
Yes.
And then basically they assign you a child. Like you say, like, do you want a boy? Do you want a girl? And we basically just said, well, we just want a healthy kid if you got them. And so they said, they sent us a picture several months later saying, here's your kid.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
Not like in when you have your own child.
Exactly.
You don't know for sure what you're
going to be. And the one thing that I've realized is that, and I have a lot of nieces and nephews. I have a big family, lots of friends with children. You know, it's like kids' personalities are kids' personalities.
Yes.
It's like they're just born with them. I mean, you have kids, all of them are different, I'm sure.
Yes. You know, something that I've really noticed in my old age, you know, because I've seen in our family, mm-hmm. you know, now I've got nieces that now are and nephews that are having children. So mm-hmm. I got great nieces and great nephews, mm-hmm. all kinds of them, you know, like my mom has like 67 grandchildren and great grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
So there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And the really phenomenal thing to me is genetics. Yeah. How I see, like, oh my gosh, that's just like, you know, mm-hmm. Uncle Roy, or he's just acting like, you know, Aunt, you know, Sarah, you know, it's just like all this, just this thing, just like, oh, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed that. And I'm now, do the kids, do they know, have any idea who their parents are?
No. Our boys from South Korea, it's a little bit different than adopting, you know, within the United States. You know, there's no real information on their birth parents. Our goal for them, though, is maybe one day that as they get a little bit older, go back to South Korea. And if they wanted to meet, you know, their birth parents, if that would be a possibility. We don't know if we'd even be able to find them.
Mm-hmm.
Our daughter was adopted, actually, from over in Missouri. Her birth parents, you know, we know who they are, and, you know, and if at any time that, you know, our daughter wanted to connect with them, she'd have that ability.
Well, my hat's off to you for adopting children, because that's so nice, so important.
You know? Well, thank you. And like I said, it's, we just really feel blessed to be able to do it. And you know, like being a parent, you're always like, oh man, my kids are killing me right now. They're driving me nuts. But, you know, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to us, having our kids.
So, you've been teaching for 28 years.
28 years, yeah.
Well, you don't look that old.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, good thing there's not video in here. People might disagree.
No, you look great.
Yeah, well, 28 years. I started at what used to be called Illini Middle School 28 years ago, and I taught social studies at the middle school, and really loved it. Loved that age of kids. Then from there, I went to the high school for about 4 or 5 years, and I taught U.S. history and world history up at the high school. And then I was lucky enough to get a job as the assistant principal, dean of students at the middle school for about 4 or 5 years. And for the last 4 years, I've been up at the high school as the student services coordinator.
How was that that job as principal at the middle school?
Like when you're the dean of students at the middle school, you have to understand that all of these kids, as middle schoolers, are going through this like really big transition in life. They're going from babies to young adults.
Right.
And they're great kids, but they have a lot of struggles, you know, just like we did when we were that age. You know, we didn't always use common sense when we were that age.
No.
So they need a lot of reminding about, you know, what it means to start acting like a young adult, you know, and, but they're good kids.
Yes. And, you know, the girls are maturing faster than the boys.
Yes. The girls were always, you know, just way more calm than the boys.
Need attention.
They do. And I relate. I was a middle school boy at one time too. I remember what, you know, I had it tough. You know, all boys have it tough.
You now at the high school, you are the student services coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that job entail?
Really, I mean, when I explain it to people, I'm really, my role is there just to help kids with whatever it is that they need. My main goal is to make sure that all of our students stay on track to graduate. So putting in systems and ways to help our students. So I oversee our guidance department to make sure that our scheduling, master scheduling, that we have courses available for our students. And we've been working a lot lately on the workforce development program. We're really proud of that. We have a lot of kids that are out working in a field that eventually one day that's what they want to do for their career. A lot of kids doing internships and things like that.
Now, has that evolved just in the last few years?
It has. You know, Mr. Tuttle, our superintendent, came to me 3 or 4 years ago and said, hey, you know, with the changing workforce and the dynamic that's out there, we got to do a better job of making sure that we're getting students on the right pathway. You know, the trades, you know, are underrepresented in schools. You know, we have a lot of kids who don't quite know what that career path is going to be yet. So helping them kind of find the right fit for them and getting them a jump start, even in high school. You know, when we went to high school, it was always, hey, everybody's got to go to college.
Exactly.
Yeah. Instead like of
what college you going to?
Yep.
You know, even, yeah. You know, everybody had to go to college. If you didn't go to college, well, you know, you just were out of it. You know?
And there's a lot of accredited programs out there now to where kids, they don't realize that they can go to even Lewis and Clark in one of their trade programs and come out after a year or 2 years making great money in a great career in the trades.
Oh, yes. There's good money in the trades. And because, for one thing, there's not enough competition in it. You know, so it's they get filled quickly.
Yep, for sure.
So a little bit about that workforce development. So where do you, how many kids are you handling in that?
We have roughly 100 of our students that are in workforce development. And some of them, it's literally working a job that maybe they're not going to have a career in, but we have them out there working in some way that's teaching them workplace skills. You know, every kid needs to learn the right way to work. You got to show up on time, how to write resumes, you know, how to do interviews, how to dress appropriately for whatever job you're going for. And, you know, whenever we were younger, a lot of times we had to figure this stuff out ourselves. You know, Okay, I want this job. Here's what I got to do.
Because I need money.
Yeah, I need money. I'm going to go out there. And Erica Heitzig at the high school does a great job. She's our workforce development, kind of more the coordinator on that side. She's constantly contacted and connected with businesses to, you know, find what openings they have, what opportunities do kids have. Here in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a summer job open house. And we're inviting businesses to come in and during our lunch hours, come into the school in the lobby, set up a little table and say, hey, we're hiring for the summer. You know,
sure.
we need
That's
workers,
a great idea.
You know, so that way our students, you know, can kind of see that opportunity too. Because oftentimes they just don't have the connections or kind of have the information of what's available out there.
Yeah, I know a couple years ago, I came out. I mean, we were always looking for help, mm-hmm. you know, when we were running the restaurant bar, always mm-hmm. looking for, you know, even, you know, bussers, dishwashers would be the ones would be hard to fill, easier to fill with high school, mm-hmm. you know, kids. And I had these three boys were walking down the street. I came out of a commercial building that I was working on, and I saw these three guys, and they walked by, just high school boys at lunchtime.
Yeah.
I said, hey, fellas. And they go, hey, turn around. Yeah. I go, any guys looking for work? And two of them said, we are. I am. I said, okay.
There you go.
be at the restaurant at 4 o'clock.
I'll show
you what. Yeah. And they showed up.
Well, we're hearing that from a lot of businesses in the community and just in the region, you know, especially after COVID hit, just finding people that are willing to work. And, you know, we're trying to work on our students to where they understand that, you know, you got to do this the right way, you know. Find meaningful employment, even if it's just temporary for now, but show up on time, be a good employee, have all those skills that are going to transfer one day to whatever career it is that you want to do.
Yes. We had a young man that was working for us, Zach, and I wanted him so bad to stay on, you know, mm-hmm. at George's because he was, and everybody loved him. He could talk to yeah. anybody, any place, anytime. He was a great, you've probably seen him in there when he was,
yep.
Running food.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a master.
Yeah.
But he was fortunate enough to go straight to Olin, got a great job. He was making, you know, $25 an hour, $27 an hour, and had full benefits.
Yeah. You know,
he had a connection. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, but still, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great for him, you know. Yeah. And then I understand, okay, you take care of the at-risk?
I'm in charge of our at-risk program, which means that, you know, students that at-risk can mean anything. You know, at-risk can mean they're at risk of not graduating high school, whether it be because they didn't pass enough classes or they just have something going on that's been preventing them from maybe, you know, getting to school as much as they should.
Mm-hmm.
And our at-risk program is all about just creating interventions for those students to get them extra help to kind of get them over the hump, whatever it is they need. We got a great staff at the high school, people that are always willing to help. And we try to get them, you know, to be at school and pass their classes so that they can do all the things we just got done talking about. Go out there and, you know, have a successful career one day.
Sure. Now let's talk about the other thing that you do is coach tennis.
Yes.
And you coach both boys and girls.
Yes, I do.
Tell us a little bit about that girls team last year.
You know, I was really fortunate as a coach to work with those girls. Had a great group of seniors who had been in the program for 4 years. They showed up every day. They worked hard. They improved every day. They put up with me, you know, so yeah. You got to give them credit for that. But, you know, just a great group of hard workers, good kids, come from great families. And just every day, it was just a pleasure to coach them because they wanted to get better every day, which as a coach, you know, kind of the art, there's the art and the science of coaching. And whenever you have kids like that, it's like, you don't have to worry so much about the art part of it. They've already got that motivation. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have to give them big motivational speeches. Right. You don't have to get something out of them that's not already there. Yeah. And they were just great. I mean, we finished in the top 10 at the state tournament, which that was a first for our program. We won our first sectional championship.
Fantastic. And congratulations.
Well, thank you. And they just worked really hard, and you know, and I've got a bunch of younger girls in the program who have seen that level of success.
Yeah.
And I think it's made them really hungry. Uh-huh. You know, so I'm kind of hoping in the future that, you know, things are going to kind of stay this way, I hope.
So you have some returning lettermen?
I only have, well, letterman is a loose term for me. For me, like, to earn a letter, all you have to do is play and contribute to the team.
Okay.
At a varsity level. And I have a lot of kids that do that. We're lucky enough to where our program's good enough to where when we play some teams, a lot of my JV players can bump up and play varsity that day. You know.
Well, so, should I ask, do you have some returning people where you can make another run?
Well, yeah. I have you know, a couple of returners. Charlie Boxtruck and Kate Hudson played last year at the varsity level. They're going to be back. And then we have several girls right underneath them that helped us out at the varsity level occasionally. And I expect great things from them. They're also a great group of kids.
How about the boys? They come out this spring. They're practicing right now.
Yep. We started a few weeks ago. They're doing great. We got really good numbers. We have 18 boys out. We've been fairly blessed with good weather to start off with. So yes. We've been out there. If you ever drive by the tennis courts, you know, you see a whole mess of teenage boys out there, you know, knocking the fuzz off the ball. Great group of boys so far. You know, they're working hard, improving every day, which is, you know, my level of success, with either the boys or the girls, you know, wins and losses don't necessarily, dictate how good of a player you are. If you have the focus on improving every day and keep continuing with that, then the wins and losses will take care of itself. You don't need to worry about, you know, whether you're winning or losing. And I play a tough schedule. I'm a firm believer in if you play good competition. So we play a lot bigger schools than us. We play Edwardsville, we'll play Belleville, we'll play Alton. And sometimes we get beat up pretty good. But I feel like that prepares our players for the postseason, you know, that level of play and that standard that they need to be at.
So just inquisitive a little bit about, so you have 18 players. How many mm-hmm. courts do you have?
We have six courts.
Six. Okay. Yeah. So plenty of action then. Everybody's mm-hmm. on the court. Well, not everybody, but yeah. Are they? Is everybody playing?
Well, whenever we play a match, we usually you have six singles matches, and then you go back and you play three doubles matches. So, you know, it just depends on the team. Like last year or this last fall for the girls, I had kind of eight girls in my varsity rotation. Mm-hmm. You know, even though there was only six single spots, sometimes they play singles, but they don't play doubles. Okay. You know, it just kind of depends on what type of player they are and what their strengths are. In the boys yet, we still don't really know what our lineup's going to be. They're fighting it out every day in practice. They're That's competing great. With each other.
That's great.
And, you know, we'll kind of see, but I've got, you know, a lot of boys back from last year. So a lot of kids with a lot of experience.
That'll be fun.
It will be fun.
Tell me about your thoughts on this craze, this pickleball craze. Is that good?
I love it, but I also hate it. I love pickleball, you know, and I understand why it's become, you know, so popular. You know, it gets people out. You don't have to run 50 yards.
Exactly.
To be competitive. You can have bad knees like I do or a bad shoulder, and you can still go out there and have fun with your friends and play. I think it's a great sport. My son and his buddies, I mean, they would get done playing tennis. We would play a match. And now that we got the pickleball courts in town with the lights on them, like my son wouldn't show up for another 2 hours at home. I'm like, where are you at? He's like, oh, me and the guys are out playing pickleball, you know? So, I mean, I love it in a lot of ways. The only thing I hate about it is that in a lot of places, Jerseyville's really lucky that we have separate pickleball courts. You go to a lot of tennis complexes now and they've put
more stripes,
pickleball lines on the courts, and makes it kind of confusing whenever you're using that court for tennis also. It makes it difficult.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I could understand that. But in general, pickleball is good. But does it distract away from kids their game, their tennis game?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's basically just a smaller version of tennis when you think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hand-eye coordination. You got a ball, you got a racket or a paddle in that case, and you have to move your feet. And, you know, it's I don't see it as if a kid is playing pickleball that it's going to ruin their tennis game or run them away from tennis. If anything, one of the things I like about it is that if a kid plays pickleball with their parents or something, they might say, hey, this is fun. Maybe tennis is fun.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm always looking for kids to come out. You know,
okay.
I'm a big believer in, you know, wanting kids to be involved in something. And so I'm always walking around the school and saying, hey, are you doing anything this spring? No, I'm like, well, you need to come out for tennis then. You need to be doing something. We have fun. Come on out.
I know my nephew Tate. He loves tennis.
He does love tennis.
Does he play around you at all?
Oh yeah, and I've told someone like Tate. You know, he's come to my camps for years, and whenever my boys are just out there hitting around or something, like, you know, before or after practice, if Tate's around, I'm like, Tate, get out there, you know. And like over the summer, with some of the summer stuff we do, Tate's always there, and you know, I love it. He's good.
Is he going to be a pickleball or a tennis player?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to be a good tennis player.
Great. Well, he's got the wingspan for it.
Yeah, and he just loves it, too. And that's the most important part. You know, when you go out and do something, it should be fun. Yeah. You should enjoy it. You know, I can speak from experience. You know, whenever I was younger in junior high and high school, you know, I loved my coaches and the sports where – like we had fun.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be all business all the time or else you just burn kids out.
Yes,
you know?
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, it's been fun having you.
I appreciate
this afternoon. Or this
I appreciate
morning.
It.
Yes. So you got anything else you want to top this off with?
No, just other than, you know, this is just it's a great community to teach in, to work in, to work with families and kids. You know, I never really saw myself, you know, living in Jerseyville, in Jersey County whenever I was younger. You know, I was just a kid looking for a job.
Yeah.
And I wound up here and I haven't regretted one day of it.
Fantastic.
I've loved it the whole time. It's a great place to be.
Well, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll see you around.
All right. Thank you.